On Monday, we read from your emails. Responses to our program on the relationship between espionage and diplomacy at the United Nations generally fell into two categories, spy versus don't spy. From Bob Samuelson of Minneapolis, I find it inexcusable you wink and nod to your former intelligence agency guest today. Spying on the UN General Secretariat is illegal. His purpose for being on your show is to laughingly dismiss these activities as business as usual, and that makes it all okay. It is not okay. It is wrong. How would these apologists feel if they found out Mr. Annan was spying on the Oval Office? Chance from San Antonio, Texas, seems to have a more accepting attitude. My question is, he wrote, who are we not spying on and why? During that program, a caller challenged us to confirm that NPR covered the story about U.S. eavesdropping on U.N. Security Council members before the war in Iraq. To set the record straight, that story was covered for NPR at the time by reporter Linda Fasulo. Her reports were part of our hourly newscasts, which are not archived on the NPR website. Several listeners wrote in during our program on Haiti with similar questions about the nation that shares the island of Hispaniola with Haiti, Alan Klonsky among them. How different a place is the Dominican Republic, he wrote. What are the differences that keep Haiti in turmoil and the Dominican Republic peaceful? Well, joining us now by phone from her office in New York City is Michelle Wucker. She's a senior fellow at the World Policy Institute and the author of an article in yesterday's Washington Post titled, Haiti Has Company in the Crisis. Thanks very much for being with us.
Nice to be here.
You write in the article that the Dominican Republic is going through a crisis of its own.
There are two things happening, actually. Presidential elections are coming up in May, and that always makes things a little shaky. But the big problem is that the economy is in a shambles. Last year, the country's second biggest bank collapsed. It was $2.2 billion. And as a result, the economy has really gone into the doldrums, and a lot of Dominicans are fleeing the island by boat for economic reasons.
Well, we hear an awful lot about Haitian refugees. Might there be more leaving the Dominican Republic, at least at this moment?
Actually, in January and February, there were more than twice as many Dominicans leaving the island as there were Haitians.
Now, tell us a little bit about the comparison between the two countries. Haiti is often described as a failed state, the poorest in the Western Hemisphere. How does the Dominican Republic compare?
The Dominican Republic is very, very far ahead. Both countries had 30-year dictatorships, but the Dominican Republic assassinated the dictator Rafael Trujillo in 1961, and Haiti didn't get rid of the Duvalier dynasty until 1986. So the Dominican Republic has had a really big head start and have been functioning as something much closer to what we would think of as a democracy.
So fill in a little bit more history for us, if you would. How did this one island get divided in the first place?
Christopher Columbus landed there in 1492.
As we all remember.
Remember the poem. So at first, the Spanish side of the island to the east was the first one to be colonized. But very quickly, the Spanish decided that they wanted to go to South America because there was a better chance of finding gold and silver. Meanwhile, back in Europe, France and Spain were at loggerheads. And France took advantage of the Spanish inattention to colonize the western end of the island and set up a very, very rich agricultural colony that became the Pearl of the Antilles.
How do they interact? I mean, I assume what happens in one country directly affects the other one.
Often, if one country is having trouble, politicians will rely on nationalist jingoism and try to blame the other country for the problem. For example, in Haiti, shortly after the rebels arrived in the country, President Aristide complained that it was the Dominican Republic's fault for letting the rebels through. Similarly, whenever elections roll around in the Dominican Republic, politicians for many years have liked to complain that there's a peaceful invasion of Haitian migrants and that these politicians are protecting the country from this invasion.
We know of the U.S. role now in Haiti. What's the U.S. role in the Dominican Republic?
It's changed quite a bit over the last decade. In 1996, it was the country's first really, really clean election, and the country started modernizing and opening up to the outside world, including the United States. And since then, the two countries have been working quite closely together. There's also a very large U.S. expatriate population in the Dominican Republic and more than 1 million Dominican immigrants in the United States.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Michelle Wucker is a senior fellow at the World Policy Institute and the author of Why the Cocks Fight, Dominicans, Haitians, and the Struggle for Hispaniola.